Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Hello, Australia. Welcome to the big... Is it Wednesday?
Is it Wednesday?
What day is it? All right. So learn.
Midweek
for people. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Hello,
how are you?
Mick Molloy.
Welcome to Kennedy Molloy.
I've had a few rosés. Not a few.
Wow.
Just one.
So we'll get you to blow in the bag or try and walk straight.
Maybe you could do that. I've been at a long lunch.
I love it. Can't wait to get to the bottom of that. Dave's having a big day too. Hi, Dave.
How are you, guys?
We'll get to you in just a moment.
Yes, we will.
I have been at the office all day.
Oh, you're at the cold face.
Chipping away at the cold face.
What would we do if we didn't have you?
When you guys arrive, everything's as it is.
Honestly.
Got you a coffee.
Oh,
I'm running around.
I rely on you for so much, honestly.
I go around the entire office with a trolley, asking people if they want sandwiches.
You'll run up the street for me to get me a pie when
Never.
I have one.
Hey, what else we got on today's show?
Have got someone really special that has really blown my mind.
One of the funniest people in the world.
Fred Armisen's coming in.
From Saturday Night Live, you would know him.
Yeah. Documentary Now is a brilliant series
Portlandia is a great...
Just keep going.
All the good shows.
He's a genius.
He's on. Good films. He's in, and he's a great, lovely man. We're going to chat to him
down
as well.
Down the other end of the pool, Jane.
Miss Nude Australia.
Is Miss Nude Australia. Covered herself in glory. A big story emanating out of the Crazy Horse.
A drama.
My favourite strip club.
Oh.
What's that one?
Well, the Crazy Horse in Adelaide.
Same as Knowlesy's.
Knowlesy can't get in. I couldn't let him in that night.
All right.
Knowlesy's with me.
Knowlesy's with you. He's a good guy.
So we'll get to the bottom
of that.
Speaking
of good guys,
yes,
we're going to digest and talk about Gillette's backflip.
All men are
they
idiots.
They had a big campaign last year that has almost buckled the company.
It almost blew that company.
Yeah,
we've kind of had enough.
We've had enough because we know there's good guys around. We want to talk about that.
Jane.
Yes.
There's a massive controversy about whether Pluto is a planet or not. And
I was just thinking,
do we know an astrophysicist?
Ding. We might.
We might be able to track one down.
Pluto, when you say that, I've got to investigate.
All right.
And we're going to find out results of the Bob Hawke auction.
We'll get to that. And food news. KFC I have issues with KFC anyway, but they have crossed a line.
I've heard about this.
And I am going to go bananas. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets.
That sounds like a very packed show.
So start at the top. What was your lunch?
Well, a friend of mine, Chika Kibor, who you will, people will know her from.
Chika Kibor. Sounds like the start of that number song.
It's a great name. Chika and Bruce, great friends.
Chika and Bruce. Those friends of yours, big food company or something.
Big food. And Chika also was in Housewives of Australia.
Okay,
you might remember Housewives of Melbourne.
Get it right.
She's a great chick. I've known her for about 20 years.
Right.
And she's launched a book today.
Oh, a book. Okay. And is it a foodie book?
It's how to throw a great party book. Now, these people...
I could have written that book.
No,
Mine will be slightly
different. Your idea of a party is a cheese platter.
My idea of a party is poles.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's... We don't have poles in this.
Shetlands,
this is next level.
Shetlands.
No. The parties that Bruce and Chika do are next level. They go to Saudi Arabia. They do amazing, and I can't talk about it. So top secret, the parties they go to in the Middle East. Yeah. And they throw for the richest people in the world, princes and princesses.
Well, stop talking about it.
What can you say about it?
Who? The Aga Khan.
I'm not saying it's pretty.
Shakira.
Shakira.
Who have they done?
They do the best celebrity parties. Anyway. Chika had a special, very small, intimate lunch. There was...
What, small? 400 for her?
No, about 20.
What are you drinking
what
now?
What are you doing?
I've got a sore throat.
Oh, are you okay?
You want a blankie?
What is going on?
Just got a bit excited. Sorry. This is all right, isn't it?
Yeah, are you okay? Should we throw to a song? Or are you having a meltdown?
I want to hear it.
No, I'm all right.
How many rosés did you have?
Beck Judd was there.
Oh, yeah.
She always looks like she's on the catwalk. Yeah. Why don't I look like that?
Stunning.
Stunning. Mm. She was stunning. Anyway, there were about 20 people there. It was beautiful, and I'm on Instagram with a picture with cheeks on it.
That's great. So I was in here early getting my fingernail cut. So,
what?
Well, I've got to, obviously.
Well, that's weird.
Whitney, who works here.
This is...
I made James go and get me some fingernail scissors, and then Whitney had to cut my nail. You know, you've seen my nail.
What are you talking about?
I've got an infected nail.
Mick hurt his nail when we were away together, unzipping a bag.
It's about 4 months ago now.
He unzipped his suitcase.
It's about 4 months ago now, and it's still raging.
Unzipped a bag and you broke your nail.
It pulled his thumbnail off.
Completely.
All off?
Yeah, and I saw it. It's revolting. Right. Anyway, it's taken all this time to recover.
So what, do you stick it back on?
Yeah. No, you just have to leave it to let it regrow.
It's all in my book.
I'm not going to say you've been a baby about it.
I haven't been a baby about it. No, you were there when it happened. I didn't even bat an eyelid.
No, then, but now.
We were at an airport.
You go, oh, look at my nail. Every day you come in and I don't want to look at it because I don't like
things like that.
You
abandoned me. I was with your boyfriend at the time, who's a doctor.
Oh, just said get a Band-Aid.
I'll show it to the doctor. He goes, well, don't know about that. See you in the lounge.
I'm at the pharmacy at the airport.
So I go to the pharmacy. Mm.
Can I just say this
up?
You did it opening a bag.
Oh, okay, well, whatever.
There's blood everywhere.
So I go, oh, hi, have you got anything for this?
Ooh.
And I show it to this girl who fainted.
Yep.
So now I'm standing in the pharmacy with my thumbnail.
So this takes a long time for nails to grow. Yeah. Mick has kept showing me every day. It's revolting. Yeah. Poor Whitney.
Today he asked her
to cut it because he couldn't because you can't left-handed cut your right nail.
Well, I've got a left-handed. It's
right-handed. Don't you know that?
You can cut both hands.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
But you know what? If I was behind enemy lines, I'd be able to operate on myself.
But you don't know that Mick's very fickle about his nails and he gets them buffed every week. He's a bit of a fancy nails man.
Tea back and have another cough.
No, you love getting your nails done. He does love a mani-pedi.
Look at it.
So stop doing that.
I'm going to post it. Can I post a picture?
When we come back, I want to talk about some very lovely event that's happened.
All right.
A 20th anniversary of some people we know very well.
We wrapped it in an alcohol swab. And I tried to lick it.
Do you know what's boring? Yuck. People who go on about their injuries.
Oh, well.
So boring.
All right.
Strap yourself in for the next 2 hours.
Fred Armisen coming up soon. Big
show. How many
rosés
did you have? Seriously.
This is Kennedy
Malloy. One and a half?
Yeah.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
Now, quiet, everybody.
We are quiet.
Now, there was a massive auction on in Sydney yesterday for one of the greatest Australians of the modern era, the late, great Robert Hawke, had a memorabilia auction, which I'm likening more to a garage sale because we had a look through the pamphlet and it seemed to be a lot of junk.
I'm not comfortable with it. It was pot plants and outdoor furniture.
Here's some stuff we couldn't be bothered removing. Do you want to come and get it? Mm. And there's like some pretty lame-o stuff.
A bed.
I thought this would be a good one for charity. Yeah. It's not. They raised $600,000. It's going to the Bob Hawke estate. That's what I've charged for going and picking up his gear. There wasn't a lot there. Anyway,
is that for Blanche, is it?
The Hawke estate.
Whoever that is.
So whoever's
recipient
part
of
the pie.
They might still donate it somewhere.
Well, you'd hope so because a lot of rubbish got bought. And I went through it and I thought, I'm in here. Yeah. I want to get something. And I had my eye specifically on a Hahn beer mug.
Yeah.
That had Bob Hawke engraved on it. And I said, James, mate, because the auction wasn't too late and be stuffed if I was waiting around. So I said, do not leave this office until you've secured that for me. James is here now. How are you, James?
I'm doing well.
James, what item was it?
So you were going for the Hahn beer mug inscribed Bob Hawke. It was valued, I think, around about $300 on reserve.
And what was our limit?
Our limit that the office gave us was
$1,000. What?
Jesus.
$1,000 for a glass beer mug.
I'm going to put it here next to my.
You're joking.
So the end is my cowbell, and downstairs I've got my chamber pot, and I sit here during a show drinking out of Bob Hawke's beer mug.
Glass all the way.
Come on. Is that not a great thing?
You swung me. Yes, it's a great thing.
Thank you.
If James got it, and how was the auction? Is it online? Do you have to
see
what happened?
There were two things. It was held in an RSL in Sydney, so you could bid on the floor there. It was packed out, apparently, or you could bid online. We bid online.
Yeah.
And just to set the tone for the night, there was a Chinese miniature open bookcase valued at $300. It went for $24,000.
Get out. Oh, yeah. I saw that. It looked like it'd be in a doll's house.
Yeah. This is not looking good for my beer mug, is it?
There were some golf clubs that were going. They were at reserve around about $300, $400.
Weren't even full sets. There were three of them. Why would you get three?
What'd they go for?
So the two assorted went for $1,100.
We could have got that.
The Callaways went for $5,000, close to $6,000 there. So,
a broomstick putter? Did you have a broomstick putter?
Are Callaway's still good now?
Yeah, Callaway's all right.
But not the top.
I mean, did anyone use them? Did like the Shah of Iran play with him or?
They just looked like they were just in the garage and they just whacked him in a bag.
I did have that feel about it. Okay, how'd we go?
All right, so we were waiting around about until 10 p.m. for the bid. I was ready to go.
Oh my God.
I don't see a beer
now.
Mic.
We were outbid on the beer mug.
Oh.
However.
Hang on.
However,
by what?
So it went for $1,400.
And you stopped at $1,000.
Yeah, well,
I followed company policy.
Ridiculous.
You're an idiot.
We are not paying $1,400 for the show for a stupid beer mug.
I did get us something.
Did you stop? You stopped at $1,000.
I stopped at $1,000 on that one.
But he can't do anything. His hands are tied.
I should have been on a phone.
But you could be fagged going on the website and doing it yourself.
$1,400.
$1,400
for a beer mug.
Were we the underbidder?
Better not be from another drive show. Should not be for Husey.
Should check that.
Oh, you, $1,400, you know we make that money? Sack you.
Okay.
Straight off the bat.
But James says, I get the idea you've bought something else.
I don't come empty-handed because yesterday on the show we said this.
Three-piece barbecue set, $200.
James.
There's already six bids.
We don't want anything practical.
But don't
we
you think it would be fun to be out in the bar and go, oh, I'll just get the tongs that Bob had. I'm going to bid on the barbecue set, you bid for the mug.
Don't bid against me on the mug.
Who's going to pay for my barbecue tongs?
There's no room for your barbecue tongs.
There is room for your barbecue tongs. We're the proud owner of them. So
we've got Bob Hawke's barbecue tongs.
Can I get...
Oh, my God.
James, look me in the eye. Now, listen to me.
Oh, my God.
You had one job.
How much
you
did it cost?
You had one job, you idiot.
So how much did they cost?
Including buyer's premium, we've paid $840 for them.
What?
We will have them we will have them in 48 hours.
Jane, we're all coming to your place for barbecue.
Well, as you should, and I will cook a barbecue in honour of Bob Hawke, and we'll all skull beer.
Can you make an offer to whoever bought the mug
of
$1,800?
Oh, my God.
It's coming out of your pay. He had one job. That's a good one for one job.
That's
give us a
fantastic.
Call. You had one job? 133353 if you can think of anything. You're an idiot. Get out.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
You had one job.
You had one job.
You had one job.
And you pinheads screwed it up!
It is You Had One Job on Kennedy Malloy. You can join in. 133353.
Yeah, we were going to do that. Where's the caller gone?
Disappeared.
Rick. Where'd he go?
Rick.
Where'd he go? Rick. Rick, you idiot.
We were talking about the auction.
He's an early beach. He's probably sitting on the beach.
Probably has
we were ecstatic because, unfortunately, Mick missed out on a beer mug in the Bob Hawke auction.
$1,400.
And I got the...
It's not a lot of money, Dave.
$1,400 for a beer mug?
Oh, Rick's back. Yeah. Rick, hey, Rick, what do you have to say about my beer mug?
Sounds like there's a bad case of work-wife double standards there, Mickey. I mean, you just wanted to buy one little beer mug. I mean, she spends the GDP of a small country on handbags.
That's exactly right.
Hey, Rick.
And now she's... Half a Louis Vuitton, do you know what I mean? Like, we're talking half a shoe.
Rick, have we ever met before?
That's good on you, Rick. Give Rick a prize.
The price back coming your way.
Hey, what's happening at Early Beach, Rick? What are you doing? What's the rumpus?
It's postcard today and it'll be perfect tomorrow, mate. Come up. It's perfect.
Mate.
We should do a show from Rick's place.
What do you do up there, Rick?
I work for a plumbing company, Reece, and, it's just fantastic.
Oh, I might get out my Louis Vuitton beach bag and come up and join you.
All right, Rick.
I'm not sure if we've got an airport big enough for a private jet.
Oh, Rick.
She can't get her handbags on as hand luggage, Rick.
All right.
Do you know what a handbag is? Have you seen a bookie bag?
Yeah.
It's the same size. Oh, it's exactly the same size.
Oh, isn't this fun?
Do you know what you can do? You can get six cricket bats and a pair of pads in her in a Gucci handbag.
Mary
Poppins. There's more money in one of her handbags than a bookie bag.
Hey, Rick.
Rick's on fire.
He's throwing haymakers.
Well done, Rick. Right, why did you... we set out specifically to get me a Bob Hawke beer mug.
Mate.
It's inscribed with
his
name.
I've got nothing to do with James being intuitive and going, I can't go back empty-handed. What else did they talk about? Jane talked about Bob Hawke's barbecue tongs. I'll get those.
Well, barbecue tongs is a good segue into our next segment.
Look at all this food.
This is the best thing I have ever put in my mouth.
I like food.
That is disgusting.
Kennedy Malloy's food news.
Eat it. Just eat it.
Wow. Uh-huh. This is a major issue.
This is concerning to you.
Not many things get me angry.
No, I know. I can feel the rage rising.
I just go, what is wrong with people? You can't believe anything in this world, and the few things you did believe in are taken from you.
Is this a dream? I can't believe what you're about to say.
Okay. Mm. So, as you know, I KFC has been an important part of my life over many years. I'm a bit disappointed that they're not free range now. So
that
I've kind
of disappointing.
Got off
we'll get, you
but
know,
they've held a special place in my heart and have done. They've got me through some tough times.
Haven't you said a tattoo?
My first girlfriend. A tattoo on my chest of a bucket of Kentucky.
That would be your dream
to
tattoo.
To be a real chick magnet.
So you committed.
And we've all had a first date or a Tinder date down at local KFC.
No, we haven't, but that's good.
We have. Their chips are amazing because I think of the salt.
Chicken salt.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, never underestimate having a couple of their moist towelettes hanging around at home.
Of course.
They really do.
Do not say the word moist again in my company.
I wish I had one for my fingernail right now. Anyway, here's what's happened. KFC have abandoned all their principles, everything important to them, and have pulled a massive charade on the chicken-eating public by introducing a bucket full of chicken that's not chicken.
Oh, my God.
It is plant-based chicken.
It's not real chicken.
It's a plant. What is it? Soy? What is it? Some kind of... Is it broccoli chicken?
Right.
It's beyond meat. Chicken. Look, they fashion it to look like it's proper chicken.
Oh, no.
Look, it needs a drumstick.
No, I feel your pain.
Jane.
I won't go near it.
Heads up. That's not a drumstick.
Oh, no.
That's a plant.
It's a plant stick.
That's good for you. A vegan can eat that.
Mickey, calm down. Come on. I don't like seeing you like this.
Yeah. It's in a green bucket.
Oh, mate.
The bucket's ours. The bucket's always been ours. Vegans, get your own. Get your own stuff.
Are they getting the secret herbs and spices?
Do you see me eating chicken that looks like tofu?
No.
So stop eating tofu.
They've gone too far. I don't know what's going on. They have partnered up with Beyond Meat,
which is
a plant-based product that is allegedly a protein.
I'm going to go and set fire to myself out the front of a KFC.
Yeah, I would have thought that was probably going too far.
No.
Yeah, a little extreme.
What is wrong with people? The bucket. Did you know I got the bucket?
It's actually churning my stomach.
I'm out on a campaign to get the bucket back into Australia. There was a time when they got rid of the bucket.
That was un-Australian.
Yeah.
I got that and I got an ashtray back into a Holden. <Did you? laughs> So it's got me going. They're the two greatest achievements of my life.
But I would be proud of that.
Look at that, Jane.
Is that not on? No, it's not on, and I feel upset for you.
Vegans, we just
it's
want
It's not my cup of tea to
leave
home
us
to
alone.
KFC, yeah. I have
just
to
want
say.
Our chicken. We just want our chicken.
No, you just want your chicken. Do you like... What bits of chicken do you like from KFC?
I'm a drumstick man.
Yeah.
Are you?
I'm a drumstick man.
Get out. I've never met a drumstick man.
Oh, mate, please.
I just like that little breast bit that's all the got the meat.
No, breast, that's the last thing. You palm that off
to I'm sure you've
the
said
ladies.
That before.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
You've got a food story. Hold the farm.
I will.
Calm the farm.
I'm holding.
KFC, you have made a very powerful
effort. Well, you've been warned.
I'll come for you. If you ever offer me a green bucket, you're cooked.
It's a dark day for Mick Molloy. Hey, food news part two.
What about the potato and gravy? Is that potato and gravy? I don't know.
This is Kennedy Molloy.
Mick can't talk.
Oh, Mick, come on.
He can't say anything, so I've got to speak on his behalf because it's something very dear to his heart.
Why would you do it?
KFC.
What are you trying to achieve?
It's very special to Mick, and he's very upset because KFC have done something very
Colonel
dramatic.
Sanders is turning in his grave as we speak.
He is turning his grave. The announcement has been that plant-based chicken has been introduced to KFC.
It's Thanks called a lot, nature.
Beyond Meat.
Beyond belief.
I think it's going well. They're saving millions of chickens from a terrible and cruel life. Oh,
well, is that?
Is that?
Okay, I'll give him that
whole thing.
But the plant, just go and call it something else. Don't sell it.
Don't go in on the KFC. KFC can't do that. They're chicken. That's what you want when you go to KFC. Well,
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
People are outraged, and we've got a board full of callers. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Jane.
What's your thoughts on KFC and this move?
Mick said that KFC holds a special place in his heart.
Yes.
I just want to know if that's his coronary artery.
Stephen.
It's a line ball.
You,
prize for Stephen, by the way.
50-50 chance of
Are you a vegan, Stephen?
Way.
Are you a vegan?
Oh, shit, no.
No. Didn't sound like a vegan, Stephen.
That's the attitude. You go down there, put a tub of potato gravy under your arm, give him a spray, and out.
And off you go. Thanks very much, Stephen. Let's go to Steve. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Jane and Mick,
do you agree with Mickey about the outrage of this?
Oh, most definitely. If you want to eat chicken, go and buy chicken.
Thank you.
Correct. Well, it's KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I want a chicken.
don't shape it like chicken if it's not chicken.
Don't try and hoodwink us into thinking it's chicken.
Do you think this is the woke world we're now living into? Another example, Steve?
Yes, I do. I do 100%. It's wrong.
It's like wrong.
You don't put it in a bucket and pretend it's chicken.
Start another business.
Go and have a plant-based plant.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Steve. Oh, God, they're all calling. This is blowing up.
You've hit a nerve.
Hello, Sarah.
How you doing, hon?
Yeah, what's your vibe on this KFC debacle?
Hey, Mickey, I've got your back, mate.
Thank you,
it's
Sarah.
KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, not Kentucky Fried Tofu.
Prize, Dave.
Ah, prize yes. Back
well
to you,
done,
Sarah.
We love that, you're Sarah. In the zone.
Hey, Brian, you've got. Have you got some intel for us?
Well, why don't, if they're going to put plant-based chicken in Kentucky Fried Chicken, when's a vegan restaurant going to put meat on the menu?
Oh, very
there,
good
there
point.
It is.
Yep.
Yeah, and disguise it as asparagus. So you go,
sorry, thank you,
sir.
Brian. Yep.
Here's your asparagus.
Yeah.
It's not. It's sirloin.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Graham, you've got an idea for a name change.
Yeah, they should change to the KFV, Kentucky Fried Veggies.
Oh,
not bad.
Again?
Yeah, they would, but no one would turn up.
No one would turn up. The only veggies you want at Kentucky Fried Chicken is the mashed potato and gravy.
That's it. Maybe some coleslaw.
And the coleslaw. With all the mayo on
it. No, it is a coleslaw.
Chris has got another name. I like it, Chris. What they should be called?
Kentucky Fake Chicken.
Kentucky.
KFC, your Kentucky Fake Chicken.
Mick, I think we have really, we've made our point here, don't you think?
We've made our point. All right, let's move on.
I've got one other food
story.
Yes,
please, go.
This is a guy, an ex-boxing champion, who went to a restaurant in Mykonos, Greece, called Namos.
Oh, yeah.
He went and ordered a whole bunch of stuff, including Veuve Clicquot, Prosecco, some shrimps, all that.
What's his name?
His name is Ricky Hatton.
Oh, Ricky Hatton, legend. A great boxer.
British boxing
legend.
He said he woke up this morning in a puddle of bleeping tears.
Oh. Why?
Because he didn't realise when he ordered a steak that it cost $1,500.
Wow. What?
A Kobe ribeye steak on the menu made his bill a whopping $3,157 for a quiet little lunch with his girlfriend.
Okay. Can I say something?
Yeah.
At $1,500... I want the cow. I want the whole frigging cow.
Wow.
15.
Kobe ribeye. And
I love a steak. I love a good steak.
Me too.
Tipped him over the edge. He could have had lobster for $298. He could have prawns for $405, but no, he's gone.
Can
you know
I say
what
something?
He did? It's the wrong thing. You don't go to these restaurants and say, I'll just order anything. You've got to look at the menu.
Can I say something? So everyone knows, you took me there.
I beg your pardon.
You eat there. It's a regular restaurant of yours.
You were keen
you
to go.
Said, oh, Jane,
really?
did you not take me to Nevis?
Interesting.
We did go.
And you didn't bat an eyelid when the bill came.
We
that
didn't
had about
have.
Five bottles of Dom on it.
We did not order Kobe ribeye. That's for sure. I had a few chips and a bit of calamari.
Hey, when we come back, I'm
going
to...
Sometimes I really amuse myself, but
I've got some interesting astrological news for you.
Okay.
There's been a bit of a hoo-ha.
You got Pluto news.
Yeah, I've got some Pluto news.
All right, stand by. Next.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Fred Armisen is going to join us in this studio in the next 20 minutes on Kennedy Malloy.
Cannot wait for Saturday Night Live alumni. Legend. I'm fascinated by those guys. I love that show.
Yeah.
It's so important.
Iconic.
Hey, but even more important is the universe in which we live.
Mm.
Now, this is fascinating for me, is the fate of Pluto.
Now, you've always been a fan, haven't you?
I'm a fan of Pluto.
Yep.
It's my favourite dwarf planet.
Yep.
Or is it? So there's been some debate about Pluto for some time.
Unfair, probably.
And it's back. Well, it was defrocked.
I don't know.
It was
that.
A planet, had full planet status.
That's what we grew up with.
We learned about.
I had all the planets.
Yeah. Every, what was it?
Oh, yeah.
My very empty mother just served Neptune. What's Neptune? Whatever. We learned all the planets.
Yeah.
And Pluto was on it, and then there was a big hoo-ha. I believe astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson.
He was responsible.
He led a campaign to get its status downgraded to, a dwarf planet at one stage.
Mm.
And now it's nothing. And now there's a push on from NASA, no less, to have it restated as a planet. Here's a NASA spokesman talking about it.
I see people writing, just so you know, in my view, Pluto is a planet. And you can write that the NASA administrator declared Pluto a planet once again. I'm sticking by that. It's the way I learned it, and I'm committed to it.
Why would you pick on Pluto? What kind of idiot picks on Pluto? You know, it's just out there.
I think we might know what
like
kind of
orbit.
Idiot does.
I like its orbit. It's is not that, hitting. Do you, it's
yeah, just, I think we might have
who
some.
Can we, who can we?
I don't know, Dave.
You?
Can you help me?
If only we knew an astrophysicist.
Real, real, real love. You know one, Jane, do you?
I know one. It's The Bachelor, Maddie.
Hey.
Hey, Maddie.
G'day,
is this 2 days in a row?
Maddie.
Oh, I'm loving it.
Right, we can't tell. We can't help it. If there's astrophysicist news around, we have to go with it.
They just We don't come by them easily. And you're probably the most high-profile in Australia astrophysicist.
We asked you, funnily enough, about this planet the first time we ever spoke to you. And here's what you
have
to
listen.
Say. What's your favourite dwarf planet? What's your favourite dwarf planet?
Oh, Pluto, mate.
Pluto. Yes. Everyone likes Pluto. All right. Are you as outraged today? Where does it stand? What do we do? Tell us. Talk us through Pluto.
Yeah, look, it's still a dwarf planet. And it just has to do with, as we learn more about our solar system and more about the bodies within it, we understand more and more that we need to have quite rigid definitions. Otherwise, it just becomes very hard to define and classify things. So I think what needs to be start being said, though, is it wasn't downgraded. It's not a downgrade. It's the reclassification of a dwarf.
But we don't like that because it's still not in the whole set. When you know when you collect all the planets, you have
it's
it in the
planet.
Room.
Yeah,
Pluto was always there.
The solar system is a family, and it's a family of planets and dwarf planets.
It minds its own business. It's got its own orbit. It's out there.
It's not hurting anyone.
It's right on the outer perimeter of the
solar
system.
It must feel bad.
Right at the end.
I mean, look, the good thing is being in the Kuiper Belt out there as a dwarf planet, which is kind of the outer asteroid belt in the solar system, It's the reason we had to reclassify it is because it's in good company. It's out there with a bunch of other dwarf planets. And so that's the reason for the classification. It's either remove Pluto from the planet classification or add an enormous amount for that mnemonic that you're saying. You're my very energetic mouse, whatever it was, could become, you know, end up being a novel because there's that many bodies at it.
That's great. Hey, just out of interest, who are you rooting from The Bachelor?
Okay, you don't ask. We got him on to talk about Pluto.
No, I've got to ask. I can't.
I am totally, mate. I'm engrossed in this conversation, Mick, and you're not
That's
being respectful.
Just...
to our astrophysicist.
Who are you with? Matt? Are you with? No, there's
Matt's
a big,
not going to tell you.
Matt's
because
got, he's going to tell me. There's a huge... My mail. I've got mail, Matt.
What?
Who's this chick? Who's this chick I'm looking at?
I forget her name.
Helena.
I know. We've got to find out. You're on tonight. The Bachelor's on tonight on Channel 10.
What's the big topic tonight?
Oh, I know.
Oh, it's an exciting one, actually.
Who are you pashing tonight? Which one are you pashing?
Hang on.
Look, I can't go into those details. You're going to have to wait and see. But no, there's a bit more drama, a bit more controversy. It's an exciting episode, I think.
It involves a crew member, Matt. Come on.
What's happening?
It does.
Rachel.
Is someone cutting your lunch? Rachel. Is there a crew member cutting your lunch?
A crew member's cutting Matt's lunch.
That's unbelievable.
It's a fiery episode, and it's fiery in more ways than one.
But Matty, seriously, if I had to choose one, you were... is there a favourite firming for you? Who's this girl here?
Helena.
My male, I'm ringing Sportsbet.
What are you on about?
And I'm going to put a Monty on her.
Okay.
Is she on the couch beside you? Put her on. Put her on. I bet you she's there.
No, I'm afraid. I'm sat by myself, sat on the lone.
Matt, how are you coping? Yeah. Are you just?
Are you
in
under
lockdown?
House arrest? Are you under
this
house arrest?
Insane.
Are you allowed to leave the house? What happens?
No. I'm still kind of just. I'm out there. I'm doing my usual life and everything.
Are people stopping you down the street? They're recognising you. Is that weird?
It is very strange. It's very humbling, though. Everyone's really, really happy.
Are a lot of women stopping you? I imagine. Yes.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, there's probably equally men and women stopping me, but the men, there's always someone else they want the selfie for.
Is that right?
That's fantastic.
But welcome to my world, you know, because you know, when... I mean, I love women, but sometimes it's like seagulls squabbling over a chip.
Oh,
and
God's
and you go, come on, girls. It's all,
Matt, what are we
let's all just be orderly
hey, Matt,
here.
You are a great sport, and thank you for being always available for us when we need to talk with an astrophysicist.
Thanks about Pluto.
Of course, really Bachelor's on tonight, Channel 10 at 7:30, everyone.
On you, Agnew.
Good on you, Matt.
My pleasure.
Good on you, Maddie. Bye.
That's The Bachelor and our favourite astrophysicist, Matt Agnew.
Yeah.
Bachelor on the TV tonight.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hey, just getting back to Pluto, it was discovered back in 1930 by astronomer Clyde Tombaugh, who, in fact, his ashes after he passed was put in the satellite that went around and looked at the planet.
Oh, okay. Dear,
okay.
Dave.
Nerd alert.
I must stop now.
Nerd alert.
Really interesting.
It is interesting.
Oh, yeah, what do you see? No, looking at the space station
like this
overnight.
This guy, who got a telescope back in 1930, discovered the
planet. Not very long ago, is it?
That's right. And now his ashes are gone in the universe.
Dave, no one cares.
Well, you know what? My ashes can go in the universe. That's what I'll do.
You're a bigger dork. You're a bigger dork than The Bachelor. The Bachelor's El Dorco.
I beg your pardon.
If you took him to lunch, he would look at you and go, "Seriously, that's your third rosé," and you would be all right. There's nothing you can offer him.
I'm going to take Matt to lunch to thank him for being our astrophysicist.
Great idea.
And I bet you he drinks lots.
Do you know
where
you should take him? You should take him to KFC for some fake chicken. We've got a call on the line, Nick. I'm really upset about the whole KFC, fake chicken, the big switcheroony, the green bucket.
It's terrible.
The green bucket in my time.
I can understand your anger, Mickey. It's not right, is it?
It's not right. I mean, I wanted my ashes in a bucket of Kentucky.
Well, mate, I have got the perfect thing for you now. You need to find that chicken heiress that you've been on the search for.
There's a couple.
You need to marry her ASAP.
And change the rule.
Start up the
MFC, the
Mickey Fried Chicken.
Oh, my God, Nick.
Hang on, Nick. This is gold.
Hey, have you trademarked this?
No. I marry the KFC heiress.
Yes. Yeah.
And I institute a rethink on the policy.
Yes. Yeah,
shouldn't be hard.
You know what I do? I withhold sex unless she comes around to my... This is what you do these days. It's a tactic.
Okay.
It's a tactic.
Yeah, that's pretty much the other way around.
What affects you, Dave, because you have sex with yourself like that.
How dare you?
Now, listen.
How did you get onto that?
Which one? Shush, everybody.
Shush.
Which one is the KFC?
She's the South African one.
South African one with the lingerie line?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, she either goes from the list or we have to get this consummated. Okay.
Why do you make it so difficult? Why are you the boss?
Because I'm not putting up with that. I'm not putting up with fake chicken at the KFC. All right, well, then she's out. Take her off the list.
All right.
But if that's KFC, if that's the way KFC's going, she has no place in my life. She's dead to me. Take her off the list.
Do you think what woman's going to go for?
She would love me. She's beautiful. She's wealthy. She's got a lingerie model. I mean,
what is in it for her?
And look at me.
What's in it for her?
Look at me.
Okay.
Look.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
I'm looking at you now.
Drink it in. Drink it all
in. I'm trying
to.
There's a lot to drink in.
Ms. Kelly says on socials, Colonel Sanders is spinning on the rotisserie, not in his grave.
That's true.
Good call. We're going to come back in the next hour with Fred
Armisen. Yeah, the great
Fred
Armisen.
We get there, congratulations to you.
What for?
It's very happy news for you. It's your 20th wedding anniversary today.
Oh, is it?
Is it
you better know. You better have gone to Tiffany's and got some china.
Oh, now what did you get?
I got some Ferrero Rocher chocolates and a nice card.
And
are you kidding me?
What else?
For 20 years of putting up with you.
What else?
That's it.
No.
That is bullshit.
No. No.
What?
No, can we get James to take over from duties? You've got a toot suite going to one of the big department stores in town.
What are you doing?
We'll go to David Jones or Meyer.
I'm guaranteeing you, mate, you are not, and trust me, I know nothing about relationships, but you are on very thin ice that's cracking under your feet.
Something.
What?
Maybe this weekend or something. Oh, we'll go for dinner or something.
This has got Indian written all over it.
You are really defensive about it.
Have a look at this picture from 20 years ago.
And
look at that. That's just Dave on his wedding.
That is a beautiful photo.
Thank you.
I look at that photo and I look at that woman and I think, she could have done so much better. She just could have done so much better.
I had a bird when we
had I beg your pardon?
When I had the photos taken, a bird crapped on my shoulder.
That's a good sign.
That's what someone said.
Unless it's a pelican.
People say that to make you feel better.
It's like an emu or something.
Mate. People say that to, you know.
Make you feel better about it.
Like when it's raining on your wedding day.
Oh, yeah, that's... Yeah, it's supposed to be good luck too, is it?
You should take home the Bob Hawk barbecue equipment.
Might do that.
Cook it up out of your leg. Please tell me what you're going to do. I'm
find
curious.
Something to do. We'll do something.
But why are you so defiant about it?
It's Wednesday. It's work week. Kids are at school. So tonight's not the night to do something.
What about later on tonight when you get home all things are quiet and you've got a quiet moment?
I've got the remote for the temper mattress and I can sort of buzz it up and then I can get a
little... 20 years later, he's still got it.
You got it, baby.
All right, Fred Armisen next.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy. yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
Yeah, baby. What a big hour we've got coming up.
Oh,
a couple
really
of big ticket items we need to talk about, Jane Kennedy.
Yes.
One, Miss Nude Australia is a hero.
Now, this is an incredible story.
It's an incredible,
wonderful
story.
It's incredible because I didn't even think there was a Miss Nude Australia competition anymore.
Coming out of Crazy Horse in Adelaide, we will get to the bottom of that. You have something you want to talk about which involves a Gillette advertisement.
I do, because I think this whole world has gone a little bit nuts and it backfired on the Gillette company worldwide. They made a television commercial, went worldwide, and it was besmirching the good will and nature of most men in this world. And so you know what people did? They stopped buying Gillette products.
It's going to be interesting. It's all about they've backtracked
and they've done another ad
woke?
Now.
I'm sick of woke.
You are sick of it, and I understand why.
Conduct yourself nice. Be nice. There you go. There's your way to go. Be nice.
Most people we work with, everybody we know, everyone's pretty pleasant. There's only a few idiots around.
If they're idiots, call them out.
But correct.
Don't tar us all with one brush. Okay.
I understand that.
Speaking of nice guys, time to check in with this bloke.
Our next guest, Fred Armisen, can pretty much do the lot. He's a multi-award-winning and Grammy and Emmy-nominated actor, comedian, voiceover artist, screenwriter, producer, singer, and musician. Best known for his work on Saturday Night Live.
Action. I am your mother!
iPhone. Everything you will ever need.
Would have been easy to turn my back on John McCain, but I didn't.
He also co-created, wrote, and starred in the series Documentary Now, Los Espookies, and Portlandia.
I want someone who accepts me for the kind of, like, fake at first a little bit, but then gets gradually more and more honest as the relationship goes on kind of guy that I am.
Along with TV appearances in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, 30 Rock and Broad City, and films like Anchorman 2, Eurotrip, and many more. Currently touring the country with his live show, Comedy for Musicians, but everyone is welcome. We welcome to the show, Fred Armisen.
Did we miss anything, Fred? Have we got it all?
No, it sounds like you covered it all.
Did you like that? Is it weird hearing your history and your career in just, you know, a one-minute grab?
It's funny because I forget about some of them.
Well,
so
that's
there's some come up that I think, oh, that one. Yeah.
It's like an in memoriam package, isn't it? But you're still with us.
But you're here.
When did you arrive in Australia?
First time in Australia. I've been dying to come
Why
here.
Haven't you been to Australia before, may I ask? Because most people have.
Yeah. It's one of those things where...
Sounds racist or something. what are you up to?
I've always wanted to, and I was sort of busy doing some project, right? And then a comedy festival would come up, and I couldn't come to the comedy festival. So that was the only way to come to the country, and I thought, why am I waiting for some festival?
Sure.
Why don't I just book a tour? A friend of mine, Tim Heidecker, another comedian, he was saying that it's so great to tour here, so I just made it happen.
Good for you.
Because we have the comedy culture in Australia is really strong.
Yeah.
We're a country that has great comedy clubs. We have great stand-up comics, Mick Malloy being one of them himself, and comedy programs. So, you know, you're coming to a place that will embrace you. Yeah.
Your shenanigans are welcome here.
Oh, great. And also the music that comes out of here. I mean, most of my adult life has been... music has been a big part. Oh, of course.
Good for you.
That's great.
Yeah.
Do
you have a favorite or is there someone you...
Well, let's see. I'd say going back to the birthday party, Hoodoo Gurus.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
That's a playlist, basically.
Yeah,
this
that's
network.
Right. You can back announce a couple of songs for us.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That'd be great.
And then currently Courtney Barnett. And,
she's
how
amazing.
How good is she? So, you're here in Australia. You wouldn't know much about us. I'll give you fast track. If you're up north, it's safe to swim in all the rivers.
Okay, so he's bullshitting there because it's not.
It's too late. I'm going to swim now.
No, there's crocs.
And you should do some backpacking. No, we love backpacking.
Again, there have been a lot of people murdered by mysterious backpacker murderers.
Apart from that, you'd be right.
Yeah,
I mean, what about walking through the outback? Is that
advisable? No, not alone.
Not alone.
You know what? Unfortunately,
put some shoes on.
Come on.
As they say, don't swim in the water at this time of year. Trust them.
Wow.
Yes. Apart from that, we've got a lot to offer.
Yeah. It's all there. You know what? Famous people in Australia are famous for punching sharks in the face.
Yes.
So if you get this is a bit of thing, if you want to be an honorary Australian and you get attacked by a shark, you turn around and you punch it on the nose.
It's one way to stop it.
way of stopping it. And it's very embarrassing for the shark. He has to, go back and go, oh, I've had a bad day. I've had a bad day at the office.
I got punched in the
Fred,
nose.
Fred, where did you grow up and what kind of animal life did you have when you grew up?
Well, I grew up in a suburb of New York City.
Oh, all right. So you're a true New Yorker.
Yes. And in New York, we have these animals in the streets called rats.
You can ride them, I think.
Okay, they're in restaurants.
Yeah.
I mean, you could see videos sometimes of them sort of like scurrying around after they close.
Yeah, that's right. We saw it.
But you really did grow up in New York. You're a new, true
a
New
suburb,
Yorker.
A suburb, a Long Island. So
in Long Island, okay.
So fewer rats.
Let's talk about your show quickly. It's musical and it's comedy.
Yes.
I love that combo.
Yeah.
People who are coming along to see your show can expect what exactly?
I talk about music. I talk about genres of music, what we go through when we listen to music, instruments. I talk about guitar. Have you ever seen a band where the guitar player does this, or I'll play certain chords. It's specific, but still universal.
Is it as you? Is it as Fred Armstrong?
It's me as me.
Observational, because, and you're a trained musician.
Trained more like self-taught.
By ear.
Yeah.
Well, I say that's more trained.
What can you play?
I'm a guitar player and drummer.
Oh. So Dave Grohl never learned how to read music, so he played all by ear. So, you know, you're in good company.
Okay, good.
What's your feeling on the cowbell?
That's something Mick is very proficient in.
Well, keep it handy, just in case.
It depends what key it's in.
It's a very important part of salsa music.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Salsa.
Salsa music, it's like that's the one thing that goes through steadily all the way through.
That's true.
It's so serious that if you go see a salsa band, a Cuban or a Puerto Rican salsa band, there's a guy who's just on the cowbell, who's in a nice suit,
and very
serious. Yeah. They're very sort of gunk, and it's not a joke to him or her, and it's a serious instrument there.
What about the tuba?
It's quite
celebratory. And it's quite
Jaws? Was that a tuba?
Hey, when we come back.
Oh, here we go. That's a cello.
That's strings.
It's a cello. And what you do, but last minute, Fred, you punch the shark in the face. Jaws would have been a much better movie.
There's a horn. Horns at the end.
What is going on?
This whole orchestra focused on...
There's timpani.
What about tapping a shark on the fin? Does that work?
Yeah, no. You lose your hand doing that.
What about putting it in a headlock and rubbing your knuckles across the top of that?
We're going to go to a song now. Is that cool? And
What's the song, Dave?
How about we go Hoodoo Gurus?
Let's go Hoodoo Gurus. Do you want to lead us in?
What's my scene is, I would say, the biggest one, and let's go with that.
Okay.
Let's go, baby.
Fred Armisen is with us. Comedy for musicians, but everyone is welcome. It's the show. More details right after this.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
And we love the fact, Fred, we're talking with you, and I'm really fascinated and love the fact that you love Australian music, and you've mentioned that.
You're doing a musical show. What's your favourite style of music, if you had to choose one?
Punk rock.
Punk rock?
Oh, man.
I'm a punk all the way. It still moves me. I feel like I am a punk. I'll always be a punk.
You keep it
well disguised. You're the most conservative punk I've ever seen.
Well,
for judging you, by
you just judged me.
Okay, can I just say too that there's a fact about you, and I actually went to Stella Adler Acting School in New York for a little bit.
Nice.
Years ago. And I went around the corner to watch the Blue Man Group. And I'm wondering, you were a drummer in Blue Man Group.
Yes, in the Chicago show.
I just thought, my God, what if I saw you? Because I used to go and hang around there because I thought they were kind of cute, the guys in the Blue Man Group. And
the band is more hidden and not necessarily as cute.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Can we talk about your heritage and your comedic background, which is so interesting to so many people.
Can I start with Saturday Night Live, which is of particular interest to us because we did a national Saturday Night show here in Australia, which went okay.
A few other people,
it was called The Late Show. And we used to love and admire Saturday Night Live. I've read all the books, and anyone who's ever been that close to the engine of it, I always like to get their experience and tell me what it was like being part of that show.
The whole thing was like a surreal, happy dream.
Yeah.
Such a blast. I also grew up loving Saturday Night Live, still watch it, and I'm also obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with all the lore around it, and I'm obsessed with just the different cast members, the different groups of cast.
I like
how it changed and reinvented itself, and also the surprise stars, the sort of like...
That's interesting. Now, can you give an example of a surprise star?
I think Will Ferrell was one of those, where at first they thought, I think... You know, they
More
were
cowbell.
Just like, That he was just
more dancing.
Yeah,
I remember watching him going, "Yeah, he's okay." Then Wooshka,
and then he's the guy.
That guy.
So I'm a big Bill Hader fan.
Oh yeah, he's a genius.
And so I like his pitch, which again is low key. It's not big.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's why I think it's really smart in the casting of Saturday Night Live, because you need diversity in that way as well.
Yes, and it's something that just happens also a little bit by accident.
Okay.
The right mix of people, Courage. The right sort. All of a sudden, you'll have this cast that's like, oh, this cast is perfect.
Keep it like that.
There's always
like
something. That. Would you mind, for there'll be some people out here who may not be familiar with your work on that show, if we play a bit from The Californians, which sure. is just extraordinary, and your character, Stu, which is, to me, there are many things that make me laugh out loud but every time, but this is one of them. Stuart.
Devin? What are you doing here? Seek a help. Get back on San Vicente, take it to the 10, then switch over to the 405 North and let it dump you out into Mulholland where you belong.
Stuart, at this time of day, it's gonna be jammed. Are you crossing?
Get on the 10 and get out of here.
So,
and that was with Bill Hader and Kristen Wiig, by the way.
And who's, they're both open class. Yeah. And everyone trying not to laugh, by the way. Goes down.
What is lovely too, sorry, Mick, I was going to say, I love the fact that you're a bit obsessed and, again, because you're an observational comedian, with accents, but not necessarily foreign accents, the American accent, how it's changed over the years, but how you tap in then to the California accent from the 20s, 30s, how the accent has changed.
Yeah, that's happened in America. All I can go by is like by footage of TV and film. Early sort of 1900s, there was almost a the farmer and the manufacturer. There was a sort of almost Dutch sound to it.
I can hear that.
Yeah.
And
then it would move. That's just say in the 60s, how did they sound?
Well, the 60s, a lot of people were really surprised. There was people were in shock. They were in shock. So I was watching videos and they would interview people who always looked like they were in shock.
And what about the 90s?
The 90s had a sarcastic, ironic quality to it.
Unimpressed.
So what? Sure, big deal.
Oh, my God. It's
fantastic.
So
I want to ask you about, you did a fantastic Obama on Saturday Night Live too, which is, it's not a grotesque parody. It's actually very, very close to the original. When someone like that leaves office, do you have to park it?
And it's part of the job, and it goes also for everyone. I would use people who then later died, and then or were no longer on TV. There's a sort of like it just happens, and it's kind of okay because the show is it's like a newspaper. It just stuff comes and goes. You know,
it comes and goes.
Yeah. You know, I did Steve Jobs, and there's no reason to do Steve Jobs anymore.
That's
it's
right,
just like that's that. I mean, aside from him being dead, it's also just sort of what can you say?
Just before we go, let's get back to your show. So people come along, they sit in the theater,
come
the show
opens.
It's a one-man show. Music, it's a romp.
Yes. First of all, let me just say, I love being in Australia.
Good for you.
Just that part of it alone is like, for me to look out into the audience
great.
And see that there are Australians there is just like, I'm so excited. I love talking about music.
Yeah.
A lot of it is also sort of open-ended questions. I'm like, what are we going to do about certain kinds of music?
Yeah, right.
And then I'll have some guests. I'll have some people come on and do a couple of bits. I'll play some music, some fake bands that I've done on some of these shows.
Brilliant.
Right.
So I'll do some of those songs. It is my goal for it to be entertaining.
We're very lucky to have you here.
If you need some cowbell.
Oh, my God. Special guest, cowbell.
All right.
I'll come along. I'll bring
it's
it.
It's right there.
So the Athenaeum Theatre tomorrow in Melbourne.
It's a beautiful
theatre. Then Perth, the Astor Theatre on Saturday.
We're
Brisbane at the Tivoli on Monday. And then Tuesday at the Enmore in Sydney as well.
Oh, you've got it covered, man.
Fred
you've
Armisen.
Got all the best places.
Thanks, Fred.
What an absolute thrill.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
I believe it's time for this.
We like the cut of their jib.
We're calling you a hero.
Kennedy Molloy's... There goes my hero. Hero of the week. Or her.
Well, it is a her.
It is a her today.
And we...
We salute this one.
This is Australian of the Year, or at least Australia Day Honours.
Right.
She's a trooper. And she just kept coming, and I have an inordinate respect for
Miss Nude Australia.
Well, she's a competitor for Miss Nude Australia. She was doing a striptease at where? Do you know, Jane Kennedy?
Crazy Horse Review.
Which is the greatest strip
club in Adelaide.
Australia, bar none.
Yeah. I know, it's the place to go. I haven't been Would you take me one day?
I will take you. You haven't been. You used to dance there. That's how we met.
If I had been a dancer, I'd be thrilled to have been a dancer.
Well, you would have, because they're the best in the business. Yeah. The Crazy Horse in Adelaide. Do you know Helen D'Amico, famously, who ran on to an AFL Grand Final in 1982, came from the Crazy Horse?
I'll tell you what, you've got to be a pretty cut, hot-looking babe to do that, and it takes a lot of effort, and you've got to be a great dancer.
You do, a lot of strength.
Do you know pole dancing is now an international sport, like a gymnastic sport? It's very hard. So.
It is. So
anyway.
We salute you.
So, but here's why we're saluting this Miss New Australia. She was performing, and while she performed, in the middle of her pole routine, a curtain behind her set fire, triggering the strip club's fire alarms and sprinklers. So there's fire, there's water. There's
people might have thought it was part of the show.
There's an alarm going off. She did not bat an eyelid.
Oh,
and she
God.
Finished her routine. That takes courage. It takes, well, fake cans.
Yes,
it takes
lucky they didn't melt.
Good song. That's the dangerous thing. She could have had a meltdown.
She could have.
I'm going to play you some audio.
Oh, really?
The
meltdown.
As it happens. Here we go. This is mid-routine. Everything going to plan. And you hear the panic right at the end. Oh, my God, the curtains are on fire.
Okay, so part of her act, apparently, Mickey, is that she lights a ring of fire.
Yeah.
That is part of her act.
Yep.
And I think that the ring of fire, the flammable liquid, was left too close to the fire and too close to one of the curtains.
Yeah.
Someone said, I think she'd finished with the batons. I don't know where they come into it. I'm interested.
Sure.
And she'd put them down, and that's when she squirted the ring of liquid around her, and then it all lit up from there. Now, I find that extraordinary. Everyone was safe? Yeah.
Everyone's safe. Can I just say something?
Yeah.
Every fireman in Adelaide turned up. Every single fireman. And you know
the South Australian Metropolitan Fire Service.
Hey, you know how they should have arrived? They should have slid down the pole.
Uh-huh.
Hey, where are the fireys? Yeah. Whooshka.
Code one, crazy horse. Code one.
That's
code
so
one,
funny.
Crazy horse. Code one, crazy horse. Yeah. See you there. Half of them were probably already there.
Oh, my God.
We're on it, Chief.
The finals are held over 3 nights.
Hey, the cops turned up too. Look.
Oh, of course they are. You're joking.
All the emergency
services. Oh, no,
services.
We all better be here.
All right. It apparently took them 2.5 hours to
very
put the fire out.
Extinguish it. No, it's funny.
Good that is fantastic.
That's great. Do you
the
know,
person I feel sorry for was Shannon Knoll, who couldn't get in. He was down the road. But listen to this. So she's doing the act, the fire's on, and then the rain start. It's like Jennifer Beale. What was that?
Oh, because the sprinklers come on.
Maniac.
She's a maniac. Yeah.
What a feeling.
Oh, no, that's Yeah, that's right.
Orin Cara, Dave. Yeah. Have you got it?
Yeah, I'll get
it. Can you do it?
But isn't What a Feeling from Fame?
What a Feeling. No,
and She's a Maniac is from the other one with the blowtorch.
I'm a maniac. Yeah, but this is the.
That's the look. No. It's Maniac. Maniac is the one where she pulls down the...
Okay, we're going to have an argument over this.
Going to Google. Everyone's going mad
right
now.
That's it, isn't it?
That's it. That's when she's going like this.
That's a really fast foot one. Is it?
What's the dance when she pulls the bucket of water on her? It's another song.
I don't know, but I think I've seen something similar at the Crazy Horse.
I was thinking more of this song here.
I fell into a burning ring of fire.
You know the one I would love? If I could go to the Crazy Horse... Sit down, get a good seat, and the dancer comes out, and this song comes on. Oh, yeah.
Well done, Miss Nude Australia.
Yeah, baby. Oh, yeah.
Flash dance.
That's What a Feeling.
Yeah, that's it. That's
what
we just played.
No. Yeah. That is Fame. Fame. You are taking me on in my musical. Fame.
No, it's not Flashdance.
It's Flashdance.
This is Irene Cara.
Jane, you need to really...
Oh, Jane.
Oh, really?
Oh, Jane.
Oh, Jane.
Throw it out. All right. Okay. Well done, Miss Nude Australia.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Time for a quick bombshell.
Yeah, what's up?
That competitor has been disqualified For setting fire to the
Miss Nude Australia.
Miss Nude Australia.
That's not fair. That's not her fault.
I would have thought she'd get a lap of honour and a sash. And
I am not happy about that.
No.
No, I'm leading a protest. Well, that's rubbish. Yeah. That's not her fault.
I might meet her for a one-on-one.
Okay.
Well, you sort it out. Yes. Well, I'm daring to take a shift of mood now.
Could I say, just before we do, the crazy horse, get on the blower.
Yeah,
we need to sort this out directly with the crazy horse.
Yeah, let's fix this up.
Also, what disqualifying people. They've rehearsed. They've tried their hardest. What are you doing?
Exactly. It's an accident.
So could have burnt down a national institution. But
that's lame. You said all the firemen and the policemen.
They're
everyone
all there.
Came.
Yeah. Everyone
under
there.
Control.
Right. Sprinkler settle system down. Went on.
It's a nanny state.
Yes.
God.
Sprinkler system worked.
That infuriates me, actually.
Mm. Do you know where they normally, when the alarms go off, everyone runs out, forms out the worried. Front. No one left. No. No one left the building.
They're happy. All right.
What do you got?
I'm going to shift the mood, and this is what happens when, and I don't know what age group they are, when advertisers get together and they think they have to be, and it's a word we're bandying around at the moment, woke. And Gillette Company, razor blades.
Yeah. Mm.
They have learnt the hard way what happens when you taint the brush, taint people with a brush where you go, hang on a minute, this doesn't feel right to me. They put out an advertising campaign last year. I'm going to remind you what it was, and it's pretty harsh. Okay. Have a listen.
Bullying. The Me Too movement against sexual harassment.
Toxic masculinity.
Is this the best a man can get? We can't hide from it.
Sexual harassment.
Making the same old excuses.
Boys will be boys.
But something finally changed.
Allegations regarding sexual assault and sexual harassment.
And there will be no going back. Because we believe in the best in men.
Men need to hold other men accountable.
To act the right way.
Bro, not cool, not cool.
Some already are, but some is not enough. Because the boys watching today will be the men of tomorrow.
Okay, the ads were slammed because ultimately it's vilifying guys, using the term toxic masculinity and making guys feel bad for being guys.
I just want to buy a razor.
That's all you
want to
do.
I just want to take a shave. That's I don't want to be lectured about my baby. We get that, by the way. We
well, of
get that.
We
all get that message. But
and
to be lectured to
by the moral high ground for a company
who are trying to sell you something at the same time. Listen, asshole, buy my razor and grow up,
I'm going to make you feel bad. I'm going to make you feel bad about having mates. I'm going to make you feel bad about a whole bunch of stuff. And at worst, it implied that there were
all
lots
men
of men who were sexual
men
predators, et cetera, et cetera.
It's a bit much.
When I first saw it, I was thought, this is not going to work. Well, it's cost them $11.84 billion, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
That is what's happened. They've had to write that down in the company. And it's a very long-serving company.
Oh, yeah.
Going for years.
Forever.
So they've just jumped on it, too. It also, too, it seems a bit mercenary to me when a company that's clearly just out to make money try and harness themselves to a social movement that they should be... They've gone, let's just ride the woke train. Let's ride the hashtag Me Too. We'll jump on board. We'll lecture the guys.
That's not how it
the
works.
The women will love us and we'll all of a sudden we'll have a...
It's not how it works. And this is what I love about people power.
Stop using Gillette.
People people would not use those razors and they lost money and they've backtracked. So they're now going with another campaign now that's nothing like it.
Are we still getting lectured? Are they lecturing all their customers?
Oh, no. They're now announced they're shifting the spotlight from social issues to local heroes. So also they've got unreal guys. Like not everybody can be a hero firefighter. What happens if you're just a normal guy and wants to shave?
I just want to shave.
And what if you're just a normal dad? And what if you're just not a high-achieving person that they're putting up on pedestals?
I just want to shave.
It's gone mad and it backfires.
And I don't need you to lecture me. I get that. And yes, some men don't. But for God's sake, don't.
But it's interesting. So, and that was global. So this is what happens.
There's another ad this one that I don't like, which is on at the moment. I don't know if it's on in all states. It's on in one state. It's set on a train, and there's a guy who's looking like he wants to basically eat a woman. He's like,
it's exaggerated.
Short of slobbering,
right?
And it goes, "Hey guys, you need to step in and help save women from because they can't save themselves from other guys." Mm. So it's basically saying if a guy looks at a woman and it's not right,
you have to step in as a hero.
Yes, because she can't look after her. She's not strong enough to look after herself. Mm. So it's up to a white knight, i.e., another male, to recognise the pressure the woman's under and step up
right.
and save the day. And again, it makes us, it makes you think, like, what's in a man's mind is all of a sudden...
Also, can we say...
All of a sudden, yeah. if I get on a train, I'm going, I'm not going to make eye contact
with
a woman, because if I do, someone might confuse me doing that or being nice.
Yeah.
I think we're aware that there are, unfortunately, there's some super bad... effed up people in the world.
And,
we know that.
The whole
that.
Thing is heading in the right direction.
Yes.
It needs, it's a conversation that needs to happen.
There's some good guys around.
Most people are good. 99.9% people are good.
Hey, I reckon there's like, tell us if you know a good guy. We've got to this stage.
1-3-3-5-2. You know what?
Good
story about a guy?
Because I think
someone who's done something nice who hasn't hurt you.
I've been missing them.
Can you tell a story about me? Go.
I just need an ad break to think about.
Okay. Well, give us a ring. Dob in a nice guy.
I'll tell you a story
about
Dave.
Nice guy.
You know what Dave did?
What?
It seems work it's when walking at night, and if he's walking down a road and there's a woman coming the other way, you know what Dave does? He'll cross the road rather than walk towards her.
So not to intimidate her.
If she's on her own, in case she feels intimidated. Now, that's a guy who's thinking about it.
And that's smart. And unfortunately, that's how we have to be.
Because I've got a daughter and I'm super aware of the young girls as well. And I think, well, if there's a guy coming towards. No. Yeah, exactly. It's common sense,
You're right.
It's
no one lets me walk home by myself or go to my car. Sometimes they go, I'll walk you to the car. Sure. Apart from the fact it's manners, we don't mind that as well.
It's politeness.
It's polite. Okay.
Here's
we'll
a call.
Back
any
we'll
evidence of guys behaving well? We know that it's rare, but if you've got one.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
We were highlighting the fact that Gillette put out an ad last year that featured toxic masculinity.
Giving a bake to their own customers.
Right. It's caused backlash. They lost $8 billion. The people spoke. They said, you know what, we're all pretty good guys. Why are you painting us badly? We asked you if you knew a good guy, and the switchboards, of course, melted down.
So there's some good guys out there.
Oh, there you go. There are. Amanda, you know a good guy.
I do know a good guy. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, my partner's Jai. We work together, and he sent me 24 long-stemmed roses for my 40th birthday today.
Well, that's nice.
You cannot go wrong with that, and that's a really good guy gesture. Thank you.
As opposed to Dave, who sent, what, it's your 20th anniversary, Dave, today?
And you, Ferrero Rochers.
Amanda, your husband beats our Dave.
Thanks,
every
Amanda.
Man of the week. Thanks for the call.
Hey, Rick.
Yes.
Tell us about a good guy.
That would be me. I finished work and I'm on my way home and I pulled into a servo and here's this young girl in tears and an operator giving her a very hard time. So I've asked what's going on and the operator goes, oh, she's not paying for fuel, she's trying to steal, I'm going to get the police involved in this. I said, just leave her alone. She said she's got a wallet. I said, well, I'll just pay for her fuel so she can get on with it, you can have your day and let everyone have a good day.
She must have been relieved. I like it when people
She's in danger too, I would have thought, as anyone would be.
If you
can't pay, you can't get home.
Good on you, Rick.
Yeah. Hey, Rick, you're a good guy.
We like that. Hello, Julie.
Hello, how are you?
Good. You're in the mood for talking to us about a good guy. We like hearing about this.
I've got a great guy. My husband, he's amazing.
Yep.
We have two kids with disabilities. They're in their 20s. We're having our 25th wedding anniversary next month, and he is teaching them to be strong, independent people, to treat people how they want to be treated, and I love him for it.
Good on you, Julie.
Julie, that's great, emotional and beautiful, and it's hard enough, you know, in your position, and we think that's wonderful.
You sound pretty good too, Julie.
Price pack for Julie.
And you know what? Just listen, just be nice.
And it's not being a big deal.
Listen.
These are just normal people.
Just be nice to people. Just, it's cool. Don't hurt anyone. Be respectful.
Helen.
Be nice.
Hi, Helen.
Yeah. Hi, how you going?
You know a good guy.
I do, and he's just remarkable. His name is Mickey the Chippy.
Love it.
Mickey the Chippy and my husband have worked together for a few years now.
Yep.
My husband's 60, Mickey's 30.
Yep.
Yesterday, my husband had to have some very serious spinal surgery.
Yep.
Mickey, who has been building up his own business, put all of his guys on a day off, spent the day at the hospital with me from 6 o'clock in the morning until my husband came out of surgery yesterday afternoon, held my hand, dealt with my tears and...
Helen, and you're emotional now about
That's
it, but
awesome,
I am.
And fair enough.
So I think Jane's about to cry too.
And he's a legend.
And your husband's pulled through. He's all right?
You'll be
all right. All right. Well,
hey, I'm a huge fan of Nicky the Chippy.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
Nicky the Chippy.
He's a good guy and well
Thank
done.
Thank you, Helen, for sharing that with us.
Isn't it? Yeah. It's a community. You get around your friends.
We also want to say it's not a big deal. No, we're just saying, you know, it's people being.
Behave. Yeah, everyone, exactly. Everyone, be nice. Yeah, exactly. Hey, we've got so many more calls, but we've run over.
Calling.
We're going to have to get out of here because we need
today.
To come back.
Yeah, you bet. More after this. Well, stick around.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Just about done for the day. Been a great show for that.
What's been your favourite bit?
Fred Armisen. I was a little bit giddy when he came in. Bit of a fan.
I like the opening. I like you got a clip there from the opening with James coughing.
Oh, this was really awkward radio. Yeah, remember this happened?
What are you drinking now?
What are you doing?
Tea. I've got a sore throat.
Oh.
Are you okay?
You want a blankie?
What is going on?
Just got a bit excited. Sorry. This is all right, isn't it?
Yeah, are you fine. Okay? Just should we throw to a song or are you having a meltdown?
I want to hear it.
No, I'm all right.
Sounds like you're one lunch away from an electronic voice.
I had felt like a fly had thrown into my voice box.
You were a bit distressed, I thought, when that all happened.
Distressed? I thought that's a bit of an exaggeration.
You just looked a bit
You've got no idea what I look like distressed, trust me.
Really?
Hey, now, there's been an update on the
world's most expensive steak.
Namos, Greece. $1,500 steak. We thought that was pretty rich.
Yes. It's been cut off the name. I can't tell, but it's Michael has sent this. Check out this steak. At $3,200, it's the 2000 Vintage Cote de Boeuf, which is a rib steak, is the world's most expensive steak. And it's at Boucherie Palmade.
Oh, that'd be a French restaurant, no doubt. Is a 2000, is a steak from the 2000 Vintage any good? Is that... Oh, what's happening to that?
I've had steak that's 15 years old.
What?
In Spain.
Really?
I'm just one of the people. You've just dropped yourself in it again. Did you pay? Did you pull your black Amex out of your $10,000 handbag and pay for your... How much was it?
Wasn't that expensive.
What kind of, and what have you done for your wife?
What do you mean?
It's your 20th wedding anniversary and that's China, which means you should have got a full tea set... Or a beautiful vase.
You know what we're prepared
it's
to give
for you?
Hey,
for Liz.
Why don't we give you this?
What?
Bob Hawke's
barbecue tongs.
Would that get you across the line?
No, that's a Jane thing. I would hate to take that off Jane because she's going to give
it. What about my thing, which was supposed to be a friggin' beer mug?
Beer mug, yeah.
That's disappointing.
$1,400.
I'd like to find out who bought that.
James
was very, he used his ingenuity.
We'll be working on it.
Tomorrow we've got Anne Edmonds on the show, which is great. We'll look forward to chatting with her.
Anne Edmonds,
we've got lots more.
Yes.
And don't forget Utopia, 9 p.m. tonight.
Tune in, Australia.
This is a cracker.
It's on the ABC.
Don't miss it.
Still there.
You might want to watch it.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.